AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Welcome to Honest to God. We are a production of The Quest Atlanta Catholic Radio. My name is Allison DeLuel. Normally you see John Henry Spann, but he is not here, so grateful to be here again this week. And we have two amazing young men here with me. We have Mario and Joshua. Welcome to the wonderful show of Honest to God.
Thank you
very much. Glad to be here.
Well, we are so glad you all are here. So would one of you all like to lead us in prayer?
Sure thing. Okay. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for these wonderful people, and thank you for the chance to be able to speak freely. I just ask that our words be yours and not ours, that we be simply vessels for you. I ask that you bless everybody who's listening, and that you bless each of our hearts, and that we may do your will in the best way possible. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. But we have an amazing topic today. We're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. Were they successful or were they an ultimate fail? But before that, I really want to get to know each of you. So, Joshua, tell us a little about yourself. I know you're a convert to the faith.
Yes, I am a convert. I converted in college. My father is actually a Baptist deacon. Ooh. So I have a lot of history in it's called the IFB, Independent Fundamentalist Baptist Movement. Mm-hmm. I was a Sunday school teacher there, studied church history, and that kind of started the ball roll to my conversion.
Yeah.
Also studied philosophy and psych in college, and currently working as a medic at a U.S. Army Ranger base.
Wow. Thank you again for your service.
You're welcome. I'm not doing too much right now, so don't.
But you know what? You said yes.
You call doing 24-hour schedules crazy?
Like,
nothing much? You're doing a lot.
I do things when people get hurt, though. People aren't always hurt. That's the thing.
Well, when they do get hurt, you're there.
That's true.
Okay. How about you, Mario?
I am actually a cradle Catholic. I was born in Puerto Rico. I'm currently in college. I'm studying aviation, hopefully to also join my fellow brother into the Air Force, although Army, Air Force is a little superior. I'm just going to be biased here just for the sake of it. But hey, I'll take them. I grew up in Puerto Rico, moved to Wisconsin when I was 12, and then just been living down here ever since for college.
Excellent. Well, welcome. We're so happy to have both of you today.
Thank you.
And you know what? Today, we're still in the Christmas season, which is very exciting. And shortly afterwards, we are going to be enjoying and talking about New Year's resolutions. So when you're talking about New Year's resolutions, have you guys ever had any great ones that were wonderful and you fulfilled, or were they epic fails?
I can speak for myself. I think there are a few that would work out and a few that wouldn't. I've always noticed the best New Year's resolutions, you have to have something that is planned out and attainable, and also that you can measure.
Mm-hmm.
Because if something's not measurable, you'll never know if you fail
Correct.
Or not.
Yeah.
And
Correct.
So there's nothing that can come
from. I totally agree with that, and that I would add on as in, You can't just do the analytical side. You got to do the will side. You got to just like have the willpower to actually just go get it. Like if you're, say for example, a basic one that a lot of people do is, okay, I'm going to lose 20 pounds within the first 2 months of the new year. 2 weeks later, give me that cheeseburger right now. It's like,
so you can follow through or not.
Oh yeah, for sure. But then you pick it back up, and that's the real thing. Are you willing to pick it back up and keep it, like you said, measurable? It's mm-hmm. like not being drastic. I mean, that's what I see.
Well, Allison, you know, that was a great... I love bringing up the New Year's resolutions that we're coming into, but I actually want to hear about some of their fun facts.
Yes, because they have not been here before. Ooh. So each of you are going to get to bless us with some fun facts about yourself. So go for it, Joshua.
Three each, please.
Yeah. Three each. Oh, the challenge.
Let's see if you're
Because the thing is, you kind of caught me off guard. You asked me at the beginning to introduce, so I gave a little bit, but we're going to wing it. I'm good at this. So number one fun fact that I can think of right now. So I've had the opportunity to live in Korea for the past year before coming to this duty station. Got to experience Seoul, that whole life, a whole different culture. It is a whole different world and culture, so that's really cool to see. I have only been in the military for a year, so there's like things that I have to learn and things that like you only learn so much. And so that was a really good one. And then the next is when it comes to like where I grew up, I had the opportunity to both live in the inner city for a period of time, and then I lived in the suburbia for a period of time, and now my family, for the last probably 10 to 12 years, we've been living in just complete rural area. My family has cows, my family has sheep and rabbits, and raises all the whole nine. Neat. And so, very nice experience in life.
Very, very interesting facts about yourself. What about you?
So, actually, like I mentioned, I was born in Puerto Rico. I grew there for 12 years, lived right next to the beach in the north of the island. And then we actually made the wild card move of just moving to the craziest of places, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I lived there for 6 years, probably the six best years of my life. It was if anybody's been to Puerto Rico, you know that's 90s, 100s, hot humid weather. You go to the freezing 30s, slush, ice, the whole nine in the Midwest. But you actually, after like a year there, it's like, wow, this is not too bad. And I probably sound like a complete heretic saying this, but like a warm-blooded individual. It's like, yeah, I'm the odd one in my family, so I'll just go and enjoy it. let's see, what else?
One more?
Yeah, sure. I actually also was in the process of joining the military. I was going to do the Marine Corps Officer Program. Mm-hmm. I spent about 6 months in it. Got to actually go to Quantico, Virginia. But God had other plans. God, in my heart, was just like, nah, you don't belong here for the whole bit. I'm just going to leave you here for 2 weeks. Give you a horrid back spasm where you're basically paralyzed.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was an interesting bit. Wow. And then he just said, nope, I'm going to send you home and you're going to rethink this. But in my heart, it's like, yes, I still want to do something. I still want to help people, protect my country, protect my faith. Yeah. It's like, because my entire mission is to work in the faith and provide my faith and show them by example to people that are especially in harm's way. And if I can do that, especially through my passion, which is aviation, make it safer, make it better, that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to incorporate my faith into everything I can do.
Amen. And that's what we're called to do to begin with, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
We don't just go to Mass on Sunday and live our faith there only.
Oh, no.
In our occupation, when we're in stores, when we're at, you know, different sporting events or concerts, wherever we are called to live our faith and to, you know, act like a Christian, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, funny story. When I first got that back spasm, it was actually Sunday. And they never told us that we were going to have Mass or a religious service at the end of the day. I thought it was in the beginning. So in the end, I ended up going to the emergency room to get the x-ray and ended up missing Mass.
Well, I know the Lord understood.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it's like you were saying. It's like there's always life. You got your occupation. You got to do your job.
Yes.
But you also got to do your human part and take care of yourself. So if that means you got to miss Mass just because you can barely walk, you just got to do it.
Amen.
Got to do it.
No, totally.
Allison, you know, it just occurred to me how special this particular episode of Honest to God is, because we have a current military person, someone who desires to go in the military, and a former military veteran. I spent 10 years in the Air Force as well.
Your service as well.
Please, my wife deserves the thanks. She's the one that put up with all of it. So,
yes.
But yeah, thank you. But this is really cool. I don't want to turn this into a military episode, but maybe a future episode.
For the troops.
Make sure you subscribe below if you're watching on YouTube so that you can keep up with all these episodes. And if you're driving in your car, pull over the car right now and subscribe on YouTube. And it's youtube.com/@HonestToGod, which is the number 2, not T-O, God. And hit the subscribe button so you can keep up with all of our episodes.
Yes.
You know what? And if you're in the military, why don't you let us know which branch you're in? How about that?
Comment down below.
But yeah, please do pull over. We want you all to be safe. We want to get you home, please.
Well, some facts about me. So I went on a pilgrimage to France maybe 5-6 years ago and was blessed to be able to go to Normandy. So as we're tying into military, it was a very just humbling experience there, knowing what the troops did, just coming off the boats and knowing that they were in harm's way, but doing it. So that was a blessing, an absolute blessing to be there.
Did you actually choose to go to Normandy, or did you just, like, stop by?
I was on a pilgrimage. We were in Lisieux, France. We went to Paris. We went to my goodness gracious, we went to see Mount St. Michel. Ooh. I mean, we went to like many different places, and then Lourdes, mm-hmm. France. So no, it was absolutely amazing. Wow. But just knowing when, so seriously, when I say thank you for your service, I really mean it, because even if you didn't go to war, you're putting your lives out there, mm-hmm. knowing that you might be there. So appreciate it. So yes, we pray for all those souls.
Thanks, Allison. And you're also, you're part of the quest, right? So like, what, why are you here? Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? So the quest, we have a new show. It's called The Morning Quest, Monday through Friday. It's a morning show. And we like to bring joy to the journey. So listen, we have a great time. I have a co-host, Josh Harris, who is a convert as well, who is a comedian, a clean comedian. And he has me laughing all the time. But we have amazing priests come in. We've got gospel reflections, and it's relatable, because the ultimate goal is bringing our faith and just being joy-filled Catholic Christians. And again, mm-hmm. we have a lot of non-Catholics that listen too, so it's an exciting experience. So Monday through Friday, you can go download the app. If you do not have the app even to listen to Honest to God, yeah, download the Quest app on your Apple or your Android device, or you can listen on the radio or through online. So there you go.
Cool. Thanks for introducing yourself. I was wondering who you were. I'm just kidding.
She's definitely not John Henry.
No, she's not. Thank you. We're glad to do a little cross promotion of shows.
No, I love it. Look forward to everybody listening in. But, you know, talking about our topic today, again, when it comes to New Year's resolutions, I mean, I think of the ones that I've had in the past and the ones I think about. And looking at some different research, and there was a beautiful quote that I saw from the Catholic writer G.K. Chesterton. Ooh. The quote, listen to this one. This is pretty profound. The object of New Year is not that we should have a new year. It is that we should have a new soul. So when we're thinking of New Year's resolutions, are we thinking of, oh, you know what? I want to lose some pounds, so I'm going to stop eating certain things. Or are we thinking on a deeper level? Because truly losing weight could be a godly thing, right? Because we're called, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So that totally is something that God desires, but thinking about things in a different way rather than giving up things.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is, well, there's obviously the cultivation of personal discipline that comes from something like that. Like when you choose something, this is something that Jordan Peterson used to say, where it's essentially make sure you're saying things that aren't going to make you weak. So an important thing with any resolution is just to make sure that you're actually taking the steps to do it. Because the problem is, as you said before, it's like if you're making these resolutions and then you're doing contrary to what your speech is, there's going to be an incongruence between those two things. And you just end up not believing your own speech. You end up not being the kind of person who cultivates the character who does what they say. And those are extremely important things, not just for New Year's resolution, but overall for life.
Yeah, it's like, you're right. Practice what you preach is basically what you're saying, in a sense. It's like, you have, I think it deals a lot with the circumstance of the person. So like, if you're, say, doing 24-hour shifts like you're doing, it's like, what is your circumstance? How did you get there? And what are you doing to either A, make it easier on yourself and it's not like a chore, or B, what do you need to change? Do you feel in your heart that you're not at peace, or do you need to change? Like, I love G.K. Chesterton. Yeah. I actually went to Chesterton Academy for high school.
Oh, nice.
All 4 years, graduated. Yeah. It was, and you get to argue and talk and do so many things. Like, I mean, what other student gets to get awarded for just talking and arguing with their peers?
And arguing in a good way,
exactly,
right?
In a good way,
not, you know, in a mean way, but
course,
just talking about major issues, right?
Yeah, and then when it comes to, I'm a big movie buff, so I believe this quote, if there are any NCIS fans out there, it's like, there was this quote from the great Ducky Mallard, if you're going through hell, keep going through it, because there's always going to be a trial. There's always going to be a chore. New Year's resolutions can be that trial. That's what you feel in your heart. It's like, okay, this is a hell. Let's get through it. Let's just keep pushing through. Let me rely on my peers, on my faith. And it's like, this is a chance probably for you to find the peace that you've been longing for, the joy that you've been longing for. It's like, maybe your New Year's resolution, okay, I'm going to find a good date. Or maybe I'm going to lose a few pounds. Or maybe I'm just going to go to daily mass. Mm-hmm. Daily mass is one of the most difficult things that people, especially Catholics, can do. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the most fulfilling. So if you have the willpower, you practice what you preach, and you keep pushing through it, and just being stubborn as heck, you're eventually going to succeed. It will by no means be easy. But nothing in life ever is. And who's the saying that said it, that we're not built for comfort?
That we're not built for comfort? I'm not sure which one.
That was actually JP too, but good job.
Thank you very much, yeah. I was like, you're putting me in the hot seat right now. I'm going through my head like, which saints are we talking about? But,
I mean, are we always in the hot seat?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think, especially with what you're saying, that it is... Christianity is fundamentally the religion of Christ on the cross, yeah. And so suffering is a part of whatever you're going to be doing, and the important thing is to realize Christ is kind of suffering alongside of you, and so it's that, as you said, that grittedness, but also that joy as you're going through it. There's something that's really, really interesting that I think everyone experiences as they get older, which is you look back oftentimes to most of the struggling and hardest years of your life, and those are often, strangely, the most rewarding, the most meaningful.
Yeah.
Oh, agreed. Oh, yes.
And so as you're going through, like, with these New Year's resolutions and figuring out what are the important things, well, what's A, important to you, what do you want to accomplish, and then how much effort is it going to go, know that if you can accomplish it by the end of the year, no matter how much suffering it is, it will be a much more meaningful thing. And the last thing you want, a comedian I like, he has this quote where he says, nothing changes till nothing changes, or till something changes,
it's true.
Right?
Yeah. It's true.
Nothing changes till something changes.
Yeah.
So if you have certain goals, and let's say it's a sin you've been continuously confessing to the priest or anything like that, it's like if you have these goals and you don't accomplish them, all that's going to happen is that you're going to pick the same goal the year after, but you're now going to be a year older, which means you have less time to actually work on this thing. So try to have that in your mind. And one more thing that's related to that is there's another quote by this philosopher that Nietzsche, and I'm not the biggest Nietzsche fan, but it's a really interesting thought scenario that he puts you into, where he's like, imagine you woke up in the middle of the night and that there was a demon or a spirit that wakes you up, and he tells you this message. He tells you, your life as you're living it right now, you will continue to live it, and then you will die, and then you will be reborn into your same life. And every decision you made, you will make again and again for all of eternity. Will that be a curse or a blessing for you? And so you want to try to make the decisions so that as every single thing you do in life, you can view those things as a blessing, because you're like, I wouldn't want to make this decision any other way. I would always want to, in every single lifetime, have done this, these same every single time.
Well, you might think twice, right, about doing something to begin with.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we're talking about struggling, I mean, what did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
So nothing beneficial, nothing worthwhile is going to be easy peasy, ride.
Yeah. I mean, I think, so if you look at it, think of it in practical terms, it's probably like an investment. You're waiting on a return on investment. Mm-hmm. You're putting everything. You're going all in. Mm-hmm. Into somebody who is out of time, like living out of time, I mean, and then you don't know whether you're going to get anything in return back. And sometimes what you get in return isn't exactly what you wanted. It's probably what you needed. Like you mentioned, if you go through something so bad, is it going to be a curse or a blessing? Because you may be going through something bad. You're working for your goals. But you're thinking, hey, maybe this is taking too long. Why am I even staying along with this path of, okay, I'm going to trust, I don't doubt God, but I'm having a very, very, very hard time trusting him right now. Because all I see is, I'll probably just say, okay, I'm going to help you out.
Yeah.
You're waiting on something. Can I get something back?
Mm.
And you're secretly in your mind, you don't say this, but you're secretly in your mind thinking, okay, what am I going to get back? Am I going to get something at merit, something monetary or whatnot? And then God's just like there now. He's like, remember, my time, not yours. It's like, and that's the test of patience. That's a true test of strength, discipline, because are you going to keep at it? Are you going to be stubborn and just say, no, I'm going to leave. I'm going to do whatever the heck I want. Or am I just going to stay the path? I'm going to stay the course. Because ultimately, those times of trial, like you said, are ultimately, you're going to look back and you're going to say, okay, this was my glory moment.
Mm-hmm.
This was the glory moment that God gave me. And God's putting me through these trials so I can be better for, say, my spouse, my children, or my family. Or better yet, for my students, a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They go through trials. Look at them. Look at teachers now.
Yeah.
It's like they're struggling so hard. And then what are those trials going to teach you? They're going to teach you how to become more resilient. They're going to teach you how to overcome a lot more things. So you as a medic in the army, it's like, what are you seeing every day? You're seeing people just either wash out of training, they get injured, but what are you doing? You're helping them build back up. You're getting, and mm-hmm. hopefully the ideal thing is you want to build back stronger so you mm-hmm. don't break as easy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and I don't know how it works in the medic side.
Yeah.
But I know as in like on the faith side of things, that's beyond surgery. That's beyond mm-hmm. mass. That's beyond adoration. That's just, no, that's you with a direct communion with God. You got to be like on your knees begging, praying, crying, whatever the heck.
You could almost make like a one-to-one parallel with medicine. For instance, it's like if someone breaks a leg, you don't put them into a marathon the next day. It's like you start with like therapy, you start with little things. And for instance, it's like if there's something that you have that's a New Year's resolution, you don't want to give yourself something that's like, you don't want to go from never working out to deadlifting 700 correct. Pounds. Oh, goodness. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Five days a week, 6 days a week.
No. Exactly. You don't want to do that. It's like you need to genuinely negotiate with yourself with what you would be willing to do. And this might just be a little bit of the psych side of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, let's say that there is something, let's say you're struggling with a sin and you're like, okay, like this is going to be a hard thing. I want to go cold turkey on it. Let's say, you know, what's a perfect example, actually?
What?
Alcohol. Alcoholism as a drug and as an addiction is actually the most dangerous, I would argue, is one of the most dangerous addictions, because you can't go cold turkey on alcoholism. Some people claim to, but other people, there's common cases of seizures or of death even from just going cold turkey on alcohol. So for you to get off of alcohol, it's not just the decision of, well, I want to get off of alcohol. It's, well, I'm going to now have 8 hours of my day that I don't know what I'm doing with. Yeah. I have a whole, I don't know what my new French circle will look like. It's a whole slew of things.
Yeah.
And I still have to drink a small amount to taper off. And God is very, very patient, and God is very, very merciful. So if you, what God likes to look for, from what I've noticed in life, is he likes to look for the heart and for effort. So if you're willing to give God just the smallest bit, he'll do much with it. In the same way for lifting or exercising or anything mm-hmm. like that, you don't start off with a 6-minute mile. You start off with, I think when I first started running for 2 miles, I think my first 2 mile was, I didn't finish it. I think my first 2 miles, I didn't finish it, in all honesty.
It's okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Sure.
And the key was, I was like, okay, this is realistically where I'm at.
Yeah.
I can mourn about this. I could freak out about this. Or am I going to run again?
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I ran, and the next day I ran. And before I knew it, by the time I was in advanced individual training for being a medic, this happens in San Houston, Texas, where their medic training is, I was running a 13-minute 32 mile. So I was running. And so with, but it's the consistency.
That's
it's the time.
Consistency.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's the character building that you gain from that.
Well, and talking about character building, we have in front of us New Year's resolutions, the Pope Francis list. So I was thinking, let's go through those and we can see how they tie into our daily lives. So number one, don't gossip.
Okay.
Yeah, this is, so remember when I told you about the thing of going to confession, continuously confessing things?
Yep.
This is me to a T. I actually, this is probably like one of my worst vices. I don't know if it's because I got a little bit of like Spanish blood in me. Spanish families were known for being a little bit of yappers about the family drama and all that. And so, but we really need to be careful that, once again, for me, I'm a big virtue theorist, and virtue theory is very philosophically around the idea that what you do is who you are,
mm-hmm.
and what you continuously do shapes your character. And so if you become the kind of person who gossips, that trickles into a lot more than just gossiping.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll catch yourself talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about in the first place. And so, yeah, that's an excellent one.
I mean, and how easy, because I mean, a lot of people fall into this, right?
Yeah, I mean, gossip, when you think about it, it's just literally, it's obscene yapperism,
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you can be a professional yapper, or you can just be an obscene yapper and just go and go and go. Whereas, like myself, you have your extroverted, but you have your introverted moments where you're just there, you're just listening, you listen to everything. If you're paying attention, you can listen to a lot of stuff that you wish you hadn't listened to.
Yeah.
But, and then there's those cold turkey moments where, okay, you don't want to engage, but you're stuck in that situation, and maybe it's directed at you that they're just poking fun, teasing. I got this constantly at work. So I'm a line guy at an airport nearby. And line guys are notorious for just teasing, poking fun, especially if you're injured. It's like, I got injured because I crushed my hand between a power card and a tug. Ooh. Now, that's not fun. You can lose your hand like that. But then the doctor said, okay, you're going to be in a brace, and you're gonna be extra light duty. All you're doing is just waving the wands around and telling the planes to either park where you want them or get the heck out of Dodge. And the line guys are notorious because it's like it's constant movement, constant evolving, constant environment. You're on your feet 24/7, and if you're not doing your job, if you're only doing a specific set, it's like you're gonna get picked on a lot. Like, I've been picked on for at least, I think, 2.5 months now.
Wow.
It's like, how do I turn the other cheek? Because I don't want to engage in gossip. I don't want to engage in that sin, but I don't want to fall into the vice of hate. I don't want to turn into anger. Just like snap on these guys. Like, all right, maybe I can trash talk them and just give like a good quippy line back.
I think there's a difference between healthy play also.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, people are supposed to play. There's actually, in Aristotle's virtue theory, it was actually considered a part of good character to be able to have a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
And so that's a big part of it, too. And so, and then there's also, especially if you feel people are crossing a line, the best thing to do, it sounds such like a simple, like a silliness, it's like to tell people, hey, listen, I don't appreciate it when you say that. Could you not say that? Like, silly. Especially with line guys, because they probably won't. Probably are going to do worse with that.
Oh, they're going to do worse.
There's kind of playing with figuring out what is playful and then what is you standing up for yourself and figuring out the balance between the two.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can figure out, like, all these guys just like, oh, you're in op. You're not going to be able to do it. It's like, oh, and then there's just a secret in the back of the show. Oh, shoot, he's in op. He can't fuel. He can't do anything. He's just going to hurt himself again.
It's Well, how about, there are some other ones here, Pope Francis. Finish your meals. And when I hear that, for somebody that might eat too much, maybe it's having less, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's also,
I got to be honest, I'm sorry, before we move on, we are getting very close to break. So I do want to hear from some of our listeners down below. If you're struggling with gossip, comment it down below, because that is something that people do struggle with. I was on a healing retreat one time, and there was a sister in a convent who admitted that it is rampant. So I'm not saying it's okay, but it is something that you can work on. So, and we've been talking about it. We went in depth, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. Continue to work on it. But for now, we're going to have to go to break. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back with Honest to God.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see. I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
Four falling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Guys, that was lovely, but we are actually back here on Honest to God. I just surprised them with playing that while they were singing. They had no idea.
Great job, guys. Okay. Great job.
Thank you.
That was off the cuff, too. That was completely riffed.
Yeah, you guys had no idea.
Right.
But we are in the 12 days of Christmas right now, Allison.
We sure are. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Awesome. But this topic, we're talking about New Year's resolutions, epic fail or success. And before we left for break, we were talking about the New Year's resolutions that Pope Francis has on his list. Mm-hmm. And the first one was don't gossip. And that brought a lot of conversation, which I think a lot of people fall into. Finishing your meals. you know, not gorging and being crazy, but not wasting too, right? Because I know a lot of us can be wasteful, including myself. Mm-hmm. I'm guilty to that.
Yeah. I think a big one with that too is I like the emphasis on the word your. Mm-hmm. So there's this idea in, and once again, we're Catholic here, but there's an idea in Buddhism with the Buddhist monks where it's like when you're at a monastery and when you're eating, you look at your own bowl. So you're not looking at the bowls of others. You're not cultivating hunger for what other people have. You have a certain thankfulness when you finish your meal. And I think it's important to cultivate that.
It's like you shall not covet your neighbor's goods.
One of my favorite authors is Dostoevsky. He's this Russian author. He writes a lot on the human condition and different things like that. And one thing he writes is he writes this conversation between a character named Father Zosima and some other character that is just some woman talking to him. And the woman says this quote where she goes, "I absolutely love humanity. I love like the idea of going out there and serving people far off. I love the idea of sacrificing my entire life, like becoming a member of the cloth in some way." She goes, "But you know what? I really can't stand my neighbor." She's like, "My neighbor is annoying and has all these little qualities. I couldn't ever imagine doing anything for them.
Oh my.
But I'm a really good person because, you know, I'd love to do these things." And so I think oftentimes we fall in love with humanity, but we fail to serve the person.
Yes.
And I think that that's definitely something that Pope Francis wants us to emphasize. If every Catholic where they lived served a minimum of like three people around them, and that's all it is, mm-hmm. be available for them, be willing to talk. That could take so many different forms.
Yeah.
But just as long as you really focus on the concrete, that's what matters more. Christ commands us love our neighbor, not love humanity, which is very different.
Yes. And then, no, absolutely.
And then I think the main one that, well, at least is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Probably the ones he was referring to is make time for A, Jesus, mm-hmm. and B, if you're married, your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all you need. And probably third, make time for your kids, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like.
Well, and it's not about us, right?
Yeah, it's not
about us. When we serve, and correct me if I'm wrong, when I serve other people, I get so much joy and excitement out of that.
Oh, yeah,
So truly serving others, and if people aren't used to that, try it. Be present to others. Be present to family members. Usually that's our holy sandpaper, right?
Yeah.
Our spouse,
yeah.
or even family members, so we can.
I mean, at least a babysitting trip. Like, hey, go visit your niece and nephew. Maybe it's just going to adoration. That's all you really need. I mean, it doesn't take that long. It's like 5 minutes. A priest once told me, he's like, if you can dedicate 5 minutes to Christ, that'll make your day.
And that would be a great resolution, right? Making time for Christ. You know, even again, when you're driving by a Catholic church, just going in there and just being with him, like you said, for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be an hour. I mean, the more the better. But again, start off small so it's attainable.
Mm-hmm. And God will grow that. God will grow
that. Absolutely. Yeah. When you give him a little bit, he gives us a lot back.
Yeah.
So some other ones from Pope Francis' list, choose the more humble purchase, right? Mm-hmm. So if we have an if we have an option to get something extravagant and big, maybe we can make it a little bit smaller here.
Yeah.
So that means I can buy gold without diamonds, right? But instead of diamonds with gold, like instead of putting them together, get the more humble option, right?
Sure.
I'll take it then. I'll take it.
Yeah.
And what about this? Meet the poor in the flesh, right? It's easy to, and, you know, and do we even meet them, right? If we see them, do we acknowledge them? And I mean, sometimes I think it's just saying hi.
It really depends on the context. Like what sense of poverty are you talking about? Are you talking about like financial poverty? Like, or are you talking about spiritual poverty? Because you could be, you could have somebody joyfully in your church. Like, I see kids, I'm help with the core team at a parish, my parish.
Yeah.
And I see all these kids. I actually help with your kids too.
You do.
It's like, you see these kids like, okay, they got to go back to school on Monday. Nothing they can do about it.
Yes.
And then they're excited about seeing their friends, but when you look at them when they're praying, what is it that you're really seeing? That's when you can really see is like, okay, are they going through something? Are they being spiritually poor? Like, I knew a guy, he was mad that he wasn't getting the respect he deserved, and he was the middle child. So you already know there's some baggage there.
Yes.
It's like, maybe it's just make some time, because he was spiritually poor and he was suffering. It's like, if you can make time for that person, it's like, I spent not 15 minutes talking to the guy, and I took him to the chapel, and I introduced him to, if anybody you knows, the medieval times of the knights. It's like the code of chivalry. Now, I know there's different versions out there, but the true code of chivalry talks about honor, talks about faith, talks about integrity, talks about discipline. And if you instill that into the young person, like a young boy needs to learn those things early on, especially from a male figure, like a father. It's like, but a fun uncle sometimes works too. It's like,
That's great you're there. And that's great you're there being that witness to those boys and girls, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, if you're spiritually poor, you're already going to be financially poor. But if you're spiritually rich, they're going to be a lot better off, even if they don't see it in the immediate sense. Because then you can see the joy. You can see joy radiating. And frankly, like you said, it makes you feel good.
Well, it does. And you know what? Number six on his list, stop judging others.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
And I think that's something that we all tend to fall into as well. Which
one thing I like about these is a lot of them kind of tie into each other a lot. Finish your meals, make times for others, and not judging others. It's like when we think about the poor among us, it's like, and when we think about not judging others, it's very easy to judge others on appearance, and it's very easy to judge people at a distance. It's hard to do it the closer you get to them.
Yeah.
Especially within, and it's like a bit of a controversial topic. I'm not going to go too crazy, but it's like, especially within Catholic circles, it's very easy to look at other people's sins and be like, well, this group of people politically are so different from me, and so they're evil and they're wicked. You know, it's a good example. It's like, there are many people who are extremely harsh towards those who have, like disordered sexual attractions, while at the same time not cultivating any form of chastity within themselves while having ordered attractions. And when you think about those who'd have the disordered attractions, but then cultivate that character of chastity, which one at the judgment will God see more favorably? And so we have to make sure that we're not judging others. There's a great story about these monks in Mount Athos. Mount Athos is an Orthodox monastery where there was this monk who died, and he was an alcoholic monk. So he was drinking every day, just getting drunk, walking around. And so they went to the holiest monk there, that his name was Saint Paisios. So they go to Saint Paisios, and they go, Father, did you hear this one monk that caused all this racket? He's finally dead. And Paisios responds, he goes, well, I know he died because I saw the chariots bringing his soul to heaven. And they said, well, what do you mean? We must not be talking about the same guy. This is something someone else. And he said, no. He goes, you guys don't know his story. He goes, this monk came here, and when he was a child, he was involved in the war conflict, and the only clean drinking substance they had was beer. So he, as a baby, was raised on drinking beer as an infant. So he always was an alcoholic. He came to the monastery for relief and was drinking about 30 glasses of hard alcohol a day. And he goes, every year he was struggling trying to get out of this, and every year he quit about 1 to 2 drinks a year. So that by the time he was leaving and by the time he departed, he was down to just 3 drinks a year.
Wow.
And so when we think about things like that, it's like, how easy is it for us to see the person suffering and be like, I'm holier, I'm better, I'm the best, the greatest.
I know.
But we need to make sure that we remember God is working in this person differently. And when we're encountering them, we are encountering God. When Christ talks about the goats on one side and the lambs on the other, he's talking about those who did this to the least of these did this to me. That poor man on your block who is not fed, that is Christ. The suffering person who needs someone to talk to, that is Christ.
Yes.
And so make sure that you reflect that in your daily actions and character.
Well, you know what? Number 7, befriend those who disagree.
Oh, goodness.
So how easy is it, right, to hang out and be with people that just agree with us, right?
Yeah,
don't agree with what our views are or our faith.
Yeah,
so we're called to love one another, and we're called to be a loving witness of our faith, right?
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's important as well. Number 8, make commitments such as marriage, right? And I think maybe make a commitment to be a friend to somebody, right?
A general commitment. It's like we were talking about, just the discipline and the willpower of just making a commitment. It's like, okay, are you going to really go through with this? Or no, you got to think of it in the long run. It's like, what are the factors going on here?
Yep.
And are you ready? It's like, because maybe you're not ready and you don't know it, but you really want it. It's like, no, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. If you do it, if you go through with it, it's going to be it's going to be heck. You're going to fall in flames.
Yeah, 100%. I also know that there was a great wise man. This is back when I was a Baptist, but he was a Spanish pastor, and he told me this quote where he said, he was like, I want you to sit down. He had me sit in a chair, and he goes, I want you to imagine this. If God was calling you to be a missionary somewhere, right? He goes, and you didn't know where, and you said, God, I'm not going to move until you tell me where. you're never going to move. You're going to be stuck there the whole time. Sometimes I like what everyone's saying this nowadays, especially in like kind of political right wing like circles, are saying to young people. They're like, get married young, have a bunch of kids, make mistakes. And I think our society is so terrified of the idea of making mistakes that we don't want to commit to anything.
Correct.
We're like, oh, if there's one little thing wrong here or one little thing wrong there, we make it the world.
Yeah.
When really it's like God will. If you cultivate the basics, everything else will work out.
Yeah.
But you can't be, if you're like, I don't know if God wants me to be married or be a priest and stuff like that, ask the girl out. Ask her out. Or what's it called? If you're like, I don't know if, God wants me to be a priest, mention it to your priest and be like, listen, I want to start praying the hours with you. I want to start doing something. I am sure that unless your priest is absolutely horrible, which is very rare and few and far in between, but I'm very sure that your priest would want to have that conversation.
Well, interesting we're talking about this, because number 9, make it a habit to ask the Lord. How many of us truly say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And persistently ask him. I mean, I know in the past, and I keep doing it, Lord, if this is not your will, close a door.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to do this. Close a door. And there have been times where the door was closed immediately, because the last thing I want to do is let him down or hurt him, because I love him so much.
Yeah.
So again, how you're talking, you know, go to a priest, yes, but let's ask the Lord too, right?
Yeah. Like, you got to do your human part, but you also just got to trust the Lord. It's like, so this is what I usually do when I'm in prayer is like I say, Lord, let your will be done, and I'll do it. No questions asked. But that's where you need a lot of faith. You need a lot of trust. And honestly, there are times where it hurts, because sometimes when that door closes, it doesn't just close.
It slams.
You'll hear it. You will feel it. And you'll feel it. It's not that just gut instinct, because gut instinct, you'll know the feeling.
Yeah.
But it's like that feeling of peace that's gone. It's like that feeling in your heart is like, okay, why did I just say this if I knew it's not gonna work out for me in the sense. But
he knows his plans.
Yeah, God is like a parent sometimes, telling their child, you can have dessert after dinner, knowing that the child will be full after dinner and will not want dessert. So sometimes it's like, I want to do this thing. And then God will be like, don't worry, I'll give that to you after you do this. And then you do the thing, and then that thing's taken away, and you're like, oh, I never even wanted it. And then God's like, yes, but I did this to cultivate a certain thing in you and to move you in a direction gently as a parent would.
Yeah, it's like, why do we have to discipline our kids with pain when our discipline should be constructive? It's like, your kid breaks something. Why just put them in a timeout when you can just have them, okay, you're sitting down and you're going to rebuild it. I'm going to challenge your brain to actually just, okay, let me just fine tune this. Let me see if this fits here. It's like a puzzle. It's like, okay, learn to fix things. And there's no pain. I mean, if they cut themselves, they cut themselves. That's on them.
Yeah.
But it's like you're with them, you're teaching them, and you're having them learn. You're cultivating that sense of what it was that you said. You said like a gentle parent.
Yeah.
It's like gentle parenting is not, oh, you can have whatever you want. No, gentle parenting is like you can be strict, but you can be loving. It's like you don't have to get the belt as a wild example. You can just...
You're bringing back memories.
Oh, goodness. Sorry.
Thank you.
The good old days.
No, what you can do is just have them build. Have them do something with their hands, because they're doing nothing with their hands. They're literally just... That's all they're doing. They're just screwed.
Amen to that. And, you know, when you're scrolling through nonstop, I mean, that does not bring happiness.
Oh, no.
It actually brings anxiety. So number 10, be happy. That's one. And again, how easy is it to get down about things or to be resentful or upset that things didn't go your way instead of going and being happy about it and maybe joy-filled, right?
Yeah.
Maybe ask for the gift of joy and pray for that.
I think Christ really emphasizes it when he wants us to be like a child. It's weird because it's very rarely, you see children unhappy, but it's a very silly, not deep unhappiness.
Correct.
God doesn't like us when we have dread, which is a very like old emotion, if that makes sense. Like you start hitting your teenage years. Yeah, you get a grudge and you get it really around your teenage years, but it's hard to imagine a kid unless he's been through something drastic with that feeling of dread and anxiety. And it's hard to imagine Christ unhappy in anything that he does, even on the cross. There's a sense of triumph that Christ gets in carrying the cross of what is he doing? He is defeating death. He's actively involved in warfare. He is the light, smuggling light into darkness. Mm-hmm. And so through all of that, there's a story, once again, this is from the Protestants, but there's a story of, I think, Martin Luther, when he was like throwing a little hissy fit, and his wife decided to dress up in all black. So she wore all black, like a funeral garb. And then she he asked her, he was like, why are you dressing like that? Because he was acting like all upset and throwing a fit. And she said, well, you were acting like God was dead, so I guess he didn't resurrect. And I was just dressing in accordance with that.
Ouch.
And so we have to remember that Christ is risen. There's very little besides that. There really is not much besides that that matters.
Correct.
It's like if Christ is risen and Christ is king, then we need to remember that and live that out. We shouldn't have this generalized, which I'm very guilty of. We shouldn't have this general anxiety about the world. We shouldn't have this general anxiety about our future and about the decisions we're making. Even if we make the wrong decision, Christ will correct it in the end if we stay true to him.
And if we are talking to him, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And talking about that, there was a great list of things that we can do from the Life Teen website for, you know, increasing our faith as resolutions for New Year's. Yeah. One, read the four Gospels. Mm-hmm, you know, we go to Mass and we hear Gospels, but I mean, how awesome would it be just to have your Bible or to get a Bible if you don't have a Bible and just read through the Gospels, you know?
Yeah, why not?
Well, that's like the foundation. You want to be a good boxer, you want to get the foundations right.
Yeah.
And it's like, you want to be good in the spiritual life, there's the foundations. Read the Gospels, pray, fast, almsgiving. These are not extremely hard things.
No.
And oftentimes you don't even realize what it's doing to you.
Oh, correct.
But God is letting it do things to you that you're not even realizing.
And there's also really no excuse for not picking up the Bible. It's like, if you need a bigger font, there's one with a bigger font. If you need something in a different language, there's always a different language.
Yeah.
It's like, you have no excuse.
They have audio versions.
Exactly.
Try, and that's a key. A little bit at a time. You know, I know Father Mark, what is it, Mike Schmitz? He has his Bible in a year.
Yeah,
you know, I've been working on that. So get in the Word. Absolutely get in the Word. Begin a prayer journal is another option. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome would that be? And I know years ago I went on a retreat and we just had to go and be in silence, and I had a blank sheet of paper, and all of a sudden things just started coming to me, and I'm like, I totally didn't think of those things on my own. And just jot them down.
Another good thing with prayer journal, and this is something that I was doing pretty well for a period of time, I've fallen off a bit, but I would recommend get a book, go through a mental examine of your life, and think about every person you've interacted with that you can remember by name.
Wow.
And write down every single person's name that you can think of and pray for them.
Wow.
And then to pray for them daily. And it could be something simple, like it'll be like, oh, Lord, please bless this person. And you mention them by name, though.
Yes.
And you go name, 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 name. There's monks doing this oftentimes for you right now that we don't even know about, right?
Yeah.
And so you get to participate in that. But not only that, sometimes God will let a name pop. And then that name will pop and you'll send a text message and it'll be exactly what they needed in the moment.
Yeah.
Love
and
that.
So I would really recommend pray for people by name. And if you can't do everyone, because sometimes these lists get long.
Yeah.
So if it's everyone,
go very long.
But it will give you a good examine. But if the list gets too long, do your family every single day, every person in your family by name, mention them in prayer. And that is a very spiritually powerful thing.
How about go to confession once a month? That's nice too, because how easy is it to, life just keeps moving and moving and moving. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh my gosh, to be reconciled.
I mean, if you figure out how to, if you have a schedule, work around it. It's like what I'm doing, it's like, and this is, I know making a resolution. My resolution one time was, and I'm still keeping doing it, is go to adoration and confession once a week if you can. And if you can, do the Mass that comes right afterwards. It's like, I live 20 minutes from the Catholic Center at KSU.
Mm-hmm.
I have no excuse for not doing it. So maybe just even popping by to the chapel and just saying hi, Lord.
Yeah.
It's like, but ultimately, the thing is, you got to be very intentional. You can't just like saying, okay, I'm going to do it, quote unquote, just to check a box. You know, it can't be a check a box, because then you're really just saying you did it, but then you're lying to yourself, and then God always sees that. So the intentionality, the willpower is just saying, okay, I'm going to be here, be intentional, put my heart, mind, and soul, and body into this chair, or into this kneeler, if better yet, if you can, and just stay in silence. If you have nothing to say, just stay in silence.
Oh, yeah. And I think suntan. I've always, like, when you're in adoration, you don't have to say a word. Nope. Just be in the presence of Christ and let him give you a suntan, S-O-N.
Yeah.
Glow.
I like that, actually. There's one thing I want to add to what you're saying, because I agree the best form is with the intentionality.
Yeah.
But there's, especially when it comes to a lot of lapsed Catholics, or it's maybe more of a family culture, you're baptized into it, and it isn't necessarily like that for you yet. I want you to imagine you're married to Christ, and if you had a married couple where both spouses aren't really getting along well, one thing the therapist will often do is they'll say, show each other affection artificially. Mm-hmm. So just like, what's it called? Yeah. It's like, if you can't
make it,
fake it till you make it. Yeah. If you can't, like, if you are going to your spouse and you're like, well, we have no affection for each other, and the therapist will be like, give each other a kiss on the cheek every day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like it, you have to do it. Yeah. And like, working out's the same way.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't like, you don't have to like it, you have to do it.
Yeah.
And in the same way, I would say adoration, confession, Eucharist, Mass.
Adoration,
You need to, you don't necessarily have to like it at first.
Yeah.
You don't even have to like it in the long run. There's moments in, who was the saint that was of Teresa of Calcutta, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saint Teresa, there's stories about her having long spiritual droughts.
Dryness, yeah.
And so if you have a spiritual drought, or if you're just not in tune with your faith yet, keep doing it. Keep doing it. God is working whether you're aware of it or not. This Amen. Is a big difference between Catholicism and Protestantism. Protestantism, there's a lot of, am I saved? I don't feel saved. I don't know if I'm forgiven, etc. I have the experience of coming from the Protestant background and coming to Catholic. My first confession, it was amazing. Like, I realized the reality of the spiritual world there, if that makes sense.
Beautiful.
You're getting graces that are not, you cannot weigh them on a scale. You cannot measure them with a ruler. You cannot name the color of it, but it's something that exists and is real. And so if you want that something that exists and is real and will change your life, you have to do the efforts that you can, though.
I'm going to kind of go through some of these kind of quickly. So sign up for a weekly adoration hour. That's if you have time, go for it. Why not do that? Take up spiritual reading. That could be any type of, you know, book, I would say, Catholic book or approved by the Council of Catholic Bishops. Sleeping.
Oh, good.
I mean, I know I lack in sleeping. Go to bed at a certain time and wake up. You know, sometimes I'll go work out
many
early.
Many sins could be avoided by napping.
Invite your family to take a family walk once a week. If you still live with your parents or if your grandmother's around, I mean, spend time with them, even if you don't take a walk. Add one serving of fruit and vegetables to your day.
Yeah.
What are we eating?
I'm a carnivore. No, I'm joking. But I like my meat. But yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I would say get your diet in order. That's what I would say.
Yes. Find a soda alternative. That's something I am good at. I drink a lot of soda water, LaCroix or things like that, instead of drinking soda. Yeah. Put your phone away before bed.
Boom. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad
one. And we're talking, put it away an hour or so, because how easy is it to kind of go through your email or scroll through Facebook or something like that just to see what's going on?
Yeah, not only
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt because we're getting short on time. So I want to challenge all of our listeners. Pick one of these resolutions and email to us what you're doing. Youngadults@thequestatlanta.com. Send us an email. We have a special surprise gift that we are going to give to all of ours who are going to join us on this journey of bringing new soul into the world of ourselves and others. And I do want to hear more from our panel, but we are short on time, so we're probably going to move right into popsicle sticks if we can.
Marvelous. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
Everybody grab a popsicle stick. Am I going to get one for you?
Yep. And okay. We'll give you guys a minute to read it. She's going to read mine, and then I'll answer, and then we'll probably go to you guys.
Okay, I'm going to start with you while they're pondering.
All right.
How do you describe God?
How do I describe God? Okay, you're going to give me a very complex one that we could make an entire episode on. God is, to me, the ultimate producer of our life. And you could describe God as the principal, the producer, the actor. Mm-hmm. God is really every role that you can be in life, and then some. That's how I describe God. But I usually call him the great producer.
Beautiful. I love that because he does. I mean, it's absolutely a production.
Yes.
The way the Lord works in our lives. Amen. Mine, how does God describe you? I would hope he would say faithful, you know, because that's one thing that I strive to do. Lord, what is your holy will? And it's an adventure, truly, when you live for the Lord. It's never a dull moment.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
So am I reading one of these for someone else and then the other one for me?
Just you.
I'm answering both?
No, just one.
Just one.
Oh, I was about to say.
Real quick.
What makes you unique? What are you really good at? I really like to write and debate. I'm very into philosophy, and so I'm pretty skilled with that. I'm also moderately good at listening and talking to people, especially if they're kind of going through something or giving advice. Allegedly, this is what other people have said.
Nice.
Mario.
All right. Mine is, where would you like to visit? Ooh, that's a hard one.
Ooh.
I think I'm just going to be a dude here and just say I really want to visit the Colosseum in Rome. It's like a lot of people say they want to visit Rome just because they want to see just Rome, just the city in general, just Italy. It's like, no, I want to see Rome, especially the Colosseum, because it's like, that's where blood was spilled, but honor was lifted up. You see these great gladiators, these great warriors, and they're just challenging authority in a constructive sense, hopefully, and then they're making something out of it. And if they die, they die as martyrs. They're being recognized in the sense like, no, these guys stood up, they got down there, they got their hands dirty for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Honest to God, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.